Manning pivots to throw from his own 36. Suits that up the right side of the field. Intercepted by Ohio State and stepping out of bounds. Jermaine Matthews with his second career interception. Picking it off and getting the ball right around the Texas 30-yard line as he picks off Arch Manning.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
The College Football Kegger featuring Arch Manning's debut.
Oh, yeah. Well, I win googly. I win is not what Arch Manning said this week. I absolutely not. That was one of the most abysmal performances that I think you could have predicted or thought of when you decided that you were going to turn this game on. 0-for-5 on passes, 5 yards downfield through three quarters. An off-target throwing percentage of 37%, the worst of any Texas quarterback in the last decade. They didn't score until, what was it, about 4 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Bad performance by Texas. It's not the end of the world for Arch. Like, his story is certainly not written. Playing your first game in that environment, you know, there's a handful of environments that are better. Not many. And when you factor in how good that team is, that might be the toughest place to play when you factor in how good Ohio State is. Because let's be perfectly clear. To go in there and only allow 14 points, the defense did their job. It's going to be a hell of a defense all year.
Yeah, look, there's a tendency in college football more than just about anywhere else to overreact to week one and to have...
Yeah,
you know,
NFL too.
Large, like wide-ranging takes that are not going to be true throughout the rest of the season. That being said, I don't know if we're going to win another game. Arch is so bad. And look, I mean, I know the context is important. They have, it's essentially an entirely new offensive line. They lost a bunch of their receivers. That, I mean, they don't have like an obvious like go-to guy. I mean, you've got all these different things that are going to, it's Arch's first start, obviously, on the road and a big environment, a big game, stuff like that. I kind of wonder, not an excuse here, because believe me, I'm not going to defend Arch today, but I kind of wondered, like, if his shoulder was messed up. He kept, like, messing with his shoulder all game, like, messing with the shoulder pad. But, no, they were just, offensively, they couldn't do anything. Matt Patricia was the coach of the game. Patricia did so much to outwork Sark. And as much as like they were running the ball fine for most of the day, their short yardage was awful in this game. They could not, even the 4th-and-1 that they snuck on the opening drive, they barely got, that was like a second effort from Arch that they almost didn't get. But man, that ugly ass Phillip Rivers motion he throws with.
Damn. It's long. It's got to shorten up a little bit too. The memes, Arch got more Eli than Peyton in them. That he's adopted.
That was good.
That's good. I mean, because, you know, like there's to me, there was four things that happened. It was either a really bad day. That's the real Arch. There was a ton of nerves. Hostile road environment. Like those are the four, right? That, you know, and it could be a little bit of like, is Arch really that bad? No. Is he overhyped? Maybe.
Probably. Ohio State's defense probably is really, really good.
Probably. I
mean, yeah, look, of course he was overhyped. I tried to say this the entire offseason. Paul Feinbaum, you should be taken off the air for like 2 months.
Just as like a suspension.
The greatest, a take suspension. The greatest quarterback since Tebow. Everything is there. My big concern about Arch going back to last year when I watched him in the limited action, I'm like, all right, what's jumping out to me like trait-wise that makes me go, holy crap. Oh my God. His athleticism is not like, it's good.
He's well-rounded.
It's really good for a Manning, but... Mm-hmm. I wasn't watching throws saying there is all-time zing on that. The accuracy sake, it's certainly not the throwing motion. He made a couple of touch throws that I was encouraged by. He's not going to be that bad. Again, Ohio State with all these NFL drafted, they may have supposedly 2 or 3 players in the secondary that are drafted. I think he's going to be okay, but that is an all-time disappointment that we're going to remember for a while. Pepe, you used to be a Longhorn fan. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to overreact. You know, I'm very worried about this team. Not that the defense, I guess, offense-wise, because mechanics, that the road environment doesn't affect mechanics. I mean, he was throwing effing sidearm. Like, what is he doing over here? And the red zone offense again, dude. I mean, you've eliminated yourself in the playoffs the last 2 years because you can't convert in the red zone. You can't score a touchdown. You still come up empty there. So it's frustrating. Again, I mean, you pray the offense is better, but their next big game is in the swamp. Like, good luck, dude. If you can't play on the road, I mean, there's another L right there.
Well,
and then you get Athens, you get Georgia. I mean, good luck, dude.
That was one of the things I said last week. Like, if they don't win this game, like, their schedule does set up pretty poorly for them. Like, Ohio State could have lost that game, and they still probably would have been all right. But Texas has to go to Georgia, to Florida. They still got to play A&M. A&M's not going to slouch. They're not a slouch team. They got to play Oklahoma. John Mateer is he already the Heisman favorite, I think? I think I saw that he's the Heisman favorite. I mean, he went from nothing to something.
Hell no, Nuss. It's going to be Nuss, baby.
Look, Nuss had just an elite all-time throw in the corner of the end zone there.
That they robbed from him.
Sark is getting called out. People said it looked like Ohio State knew all the routes, the same stuff that was run last year in their playoff game. The wide receivers for Texas are getting called out as maybe not being talented enough or effort. I saw some of that out there. So some people were killing Arch, others were killing Sark.
I don't know how you waste. There are people, I think they're wrong, but there are people who will say Jeremiah Smith could be like a top five receiver right now as a 19-year-old in the NFL.
And
like,
you said you think that's wrong?
Yeah, he's not yet. It's the same thing as like when they said Trevor Lawrence would walk in and be a top five quarterback after his freshman year at Clemson. No, like he's still got to, you got to grow up a little bit. And not in like a maturity way, but you do got to progress a little bit. But this is two of his four worst performances of his career at Ohio State now have been against Texas in their games you lost. And like you're wasting what your defense is doing for you. And Sark was, I didn't think Sark had a good game. Arch obviously didn't. The receivers didn't. I mean, as a whole, the offense wasn't great. The running game did a little bit of something, but for the most part, yeah, this was demoralizing and upsetting, and just it's another big game that Sark has not been able to win.
People think they're going to drop to like 9 or 10. I thought Heather Dinich? She has LSU, who Lee Corso picked as his national champion, moving up to number one in the country with the Longhorns falling to 9 or 10. Arch after the loss.
Yeah, it didn't start fast enough. It took a whole half for us to kind of even get the ball down the field. So that starts with me. Get back to square one and get back Monday and go prepare for San Jose State. Yeah, ultimately not good enough. Obviously, you don't want to start off the season 0-1. They're a good team, but I thought we beat ourselves a lot, and that starts with me. And I got to play better for us to win. Can't wait till the second half to kind of get things going.
Man, he sounds too much like Eli. You can hear Eli's voice in the background.
And he doesn't even look enough like him, which is concerning.
Yeah, so she's projecting the college playoff. If the college playoff committee met today, that Texas would be 10th, and LSU would be number one.
That is not the worst loss of the ranked teams. That easily belonged to Bobby's favorite.
Boggs in motion left to right, and they fake the handoff, end around right to left this way, running 30, 25, 20, Mackay Dansey breaks a tackle, 5, he's in, shot in there, baby, Mackay Dansey on his first touch of the afternoon, speed kills, touchdown Florida State, touchdown FSU.
Oh, God.
What happened to Deckerhoff? He used to be there for years. Fire the cannons. He was there at Florida State for years. He must have quit.
$70 million. That's how much it costs to buy out Kalen DeBoer. Look, I can't. My team didn't win, and that sucks, and it was a painful loss, and it was another big loss that we've had in the last couple years and in the big, like, crunch time moments. We haven't won the big game yet. This is my victory this weekend. Is watching Alabama suffer, watching Clemson suffer, watching Bill Belichick suffer. Those are the things that I'm going to lean into and feel really good about. And this was not just a fluky thing or anything else. This was Florida State beating their ass. This was Alabama getting whooped as a massive favorite.
And this right here, and we're going to see the rankings, the top 25 today when it comes out. This is the problem with preseason rankings, is that two things are going to happen here. The people who voted on this are not going to admit they were wrong on Alabama. So they're not going to drop Bama far enough to where they deserve to be. But in doing so, they're also going to overrate where Florida State really is. They're going to put Florida State's going to be about number 8 today. They're going to go from unranked to probably number 8. And that should not happen.
What about this team and this coach finally winning a season opener?
Back to throw. Looking. Throws toward the end zone. It is. Daniels caught it in traffic, and they're going wild at Hard Rock Stadium. What a catch by C.J. Daniels, who makes an announcement. He's here in Miami.
Sorry, not finally winning a season opener, finally beating a top 10 team. Miami Radio with the call.
First time in about a decade that Miami beat a top 10 team. Mario Cristobal had his own little issues with top 10, but this...
Play of the weekend with a catch.
Yes, that. Oh, what a catch. And, you know, Carson Beck got pretty mocked for, you know, leaving. First of all, they said he was basically carried by Georgia. He was the bus driver. Mm-hmm. So he got mocked. And then he takes this ungodly amount of money, completely alters the NIL packaging, right? Because he got so much cash. Well, what happens is he goes out there and he plays pretty well. And, you know, Cam Ward dragged that Miami team last year. That was not an elite team. And they lost a lot of guys off that team that wasn't even that good. And Cam Ward dragged them. Well, now you got Carson Beck in there. And Carson Beck's doing Carson Beck things, good things. You know, maybe Carson Beck was better than we gave him credit for.
It's an impressive victory. There's nothing you can take away from it. Miami won a game that a lot of people didn't think they would. And a lot of people, I think everybody pretty much unanimously agreed Notre Dame was a better football team, that Notre Dame was a title contender or somebody who was at least going to be one of the teams we're talking about as one of the final CFP teams. But this is, yeah, it's a good victory for them. I still am not a believer in Carson Beck. It's nice that he had a good performance. This is one of his first really strong performances against a ranked team, like a big-time, prime-time ranked team. He's had a lot of struggles like that. That's a consistent theme with him, Klubnik, Drew Aller at Penn State. Like, they all have these issues, and it's nice that he overcame that one for this afternoon or for this evening, but I still would not bet on Miami being one of the top teams at the end of the year.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Also, look at, you know, like, this just kind of goes to show, like, if you get a transfer quarterback that's a very good vet who's seen everything, fourth, fifth year, you're just so ahead of everything else. I mean, Notre Dame had Lloyd Carr's grandkid, who was young, making his first start, right? They you know, obviously they had Riley Leonard last year. But he goes on the road, right? You know, here's Carson Beck just seamlessly going in. Mateer at Oklahoma, a vet, seamlessly going in. Aguilar, Tennessee, all these teams that had young quarterbacks struggled, and the ones that had the guys that were older figured it out.
And then a huge sigh of relief for Brian Kelly as they get the win over Clemson.
Yep, and then Nussmeier versus Klubnik. This was one of those kind of like who's going to be the overall number one pick elimination games.
Better not be Klubnik.
Half joking, but yeah, Nussmeier and Klubnik, and this was a lower scoring game than I think a lot of us envisioned that it was going to be based on who those two quarterbacks were.
Old Reitma, he was feeling good. He had the under, and he had Clemson -4.5, and he had it parlayed. And he got the under because the over-under, I think, was like 56.5 or something like that. Yeah. But you don't bet against Nuss. You don't bet against Marcus High
These
School.
Nuss.
These Nuss.
College football kegger Tolo Tuesday edition. Football is back. We got the opener Thursday night in Filthy on this radio station. And back to the surging Rangers at 8 o'clock with Diamond Cavs. Also on your home for Texas Rangers baseball. It's also your home of the Commercial Free Expressway. That is what is happening next, along with Ask Reddit. We need your answers and help at 7:40. But has the smear campaign already started against Micah Parsons? Back inside the Star with the very latest on the details that led to the divorce after this. Thanks to awesome web guy Josh Clark for sending over the piece that just dropped from friend of the show, the great Don Van Natta, taking us inside the March meeting between Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons. We're trying to go through this as quickly as possible here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby with the opener days away Thursday night on this radio station. Good morning, Metroplex. Commercial free with the Expressway. Ask Reddit coming up at 7:40. Diamond Cavs with the Red Hot Rangers at 8. While we go through the Van Natta piece, we have one already to break down. And this is, I agree with you, Bobby, a fantastic article from Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, on what really happened. So I'm going to go through pieces of this, and y'all just stop down with your objections or not, like we're in a courtroom.
Okay.
everything on Micah's end, from his disinterested demeanor and sweats on the sidelines at camp to carrying nachos into AT&T Stadium, then laying on the training table, was taken as intentional from the Cowboys. There's a difference between this negotiation and the previous three with Zach, CeeDee, and Dak. They are and were very popular in the locker room. That's not the case with Parsons, who has rankled teammates in different ways, seen by some as egotistical and self-centered. His podcast has created issues, too, that go all the way up to Dak Prescott.
All right, Dak, I mean, then just cancel your Danon commercials or whatever the hell you're doing. Sleep Number, is that what it is? Sleep Number? Can't, I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear people complain and bitch and moan about a podcast. It's his downtime. It's his downtime. Don't complain about it. It's an hour out of his day. Don't complain about it. I don't want to see a single player play golf.
I don't think anybody's complaining about it because it's an hour. Like, I don't think it's because like you're not spending enough time. I think people are concerned with what he's discussing on there.
It's his business. Who cares?
It's the team's business when he's discussing it.
He's not discussing, like, he's not giving away trade secrets.
No, but if you're going on there and you're gassing
up. Can you recall, like, two things that he has said that you think could become issues in the locker room or to the team that were annoying?
Yeah, I think it rubbed people the wrong way when he did his top five quarterbacks and he just completely left Dak off of there. Whether that's real or not, everybody always throws their teammate in there. Cam Ward said Calvin Ridley was one of the five best receivers in football. It's what you do. And so I don't know if that bugged Dak. I know it bugged some people, though. And then the other was the fact that he was so just fawning the week of the Green Bay playoff game over Jordan Love. That was something that upset some people.
The Dak thing's a problem. You got to put Dak in there. I agree. But that, again, that's like, that's not the podcast. You know what I mean? That's not a problem. The podcast is not a problem. If I don't want to see a player play golf, I don't want to see him go fishing. If you're not in the facility, in the training room, in the pool, getting a workout in the film room, then you better be at home relaxing.
I don't want
to see you changing a diaper. Nothing. It's football or nothing. If that's how you want to play it, if that's how these players want to play it, fine.
Do you think there's a way you can handle things poorly in the locker room when you're interviewed by the media?
I think there's a way you can handle
it. Yeah, like, do you think that can have a negative impact, the way you answer certain things to the media in the locker room?
Of course.
Yeah, I would think so.
So, like, if you've got an unchecked, just free form, I'm talking about every issue and I'm taking shots at the Giants the week of the game, talking about how stupid they are for not re-signing Saquon and potentially getting them pissed off and worked up. I'm saying this and that. I think it was just, you don't need to talk that much. You are talking way too much about things we have going on here, and you're creating problems for us that wouldn't exist otherwise. And I'm not saying that would bug me if I was in there or anything else, but I'm saying it bugged people, and it was going to bug people when you're that open and talking that much.
I understand. I'm just saying, like, that's his hobby, you know, like, just it's what it is.
Making money off it.
And he's making money off it.
But like, his hobby does affect them.
If you let it, I suppose, if you let it.
You think, how does...
Like, if you let those words get to you.
No, but I mean, if he's talking about the Giants, or he's gassing up the Packers the week of the playoff game, or he's talking about an issue that then gets somebody in the league upset or gets a teammate upset.
Malik Hooker talked about it. I'm surprised that Dak's name made its way into this piece.
Yeah,
mine too. Was he asked about this?
About the Breer piece specifically? Yeah. I don't believe so.
Like, someone needs to ask him, did you have a problem with Micah's podcast, Dak, on his message to the locker room after the trade?
I don't know if there was a necessary meeting or things needed to be said or handled or had. I mean, it was a very public issue that everybody could look on the internet or ask somebody or ask one of y'all and get a lot of intel or feelings about it that, like I said, it's just good to be past it. And as I said, both parties are happy. From what I got from the feel of the locker room, I don't think there needed a talk or lifting guys up over the divorce or feeling down about themselves, I mean, or about the situation. It's a business. And I think a lot of guys in that locker room know that, have felt that to some extent or not. And I just think that was just another realization of it, of this is a business. And hell, if anything, I hope it was a wake-up call to some guys, right? Like, this is for our life. And every day you come in here and you approach it as it is for your life. We're blessed to play a game for a living. So, yeah, the locker room seemed upbeat. The ping pong games have still been going on. And, we're focused on Philly.
Here's the way I feel about the podcast. I'm more towards Choppy's side of it's not the biggest deal in the world. I think what this would come down to for me, how do I feel about Micah in the locker room? If I thought that Micah was egotistical and was not that great of a leader and didn't do every single thing that he should in the film room and in terms of following the defensive assignments, and I felt like he was an egomaniac, I'd be annoyed by his podcast by proxy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Not necessarily everything he's saying in it, but hey, man, like you're kind of annoying in here, or you get a pass for being this superstar. You talk about being this leader, and you don't do all these little things to follow up on it. So then I'd just be annoyed by something else you do.
It's the,
you know what I mean?
It's the old one-legged DJ joke from Nate Bargatze, where he said he's talking about his wedding, and he said he was messing up the songs, and he goes our DJ had one leg, and he goes, which it doesn't matter. He goes, until he starts messing up.
Yeah.
Why does he have one leg?
Exactly. More from Albert Breer. Mulugeta was putting together the final details on Micah's blockbuster trade with Green Bay, but Micah was getting impatient. I think the reason this is important here is because this is part of the Jerry and Steven negotiating tactic that the player will crack. And it sounded like Micah was starting to crack. I think this is actually from the ESPN piece. Micah was beginning to worry that his situation may not get settled, which is why Thursday, as he was leaving the team facility after getting treatment on his back, he called Mulugeta. Mulugeta was working on the final details, but Micah said, I told him that day, dude, I don't know what's going to happen, but I need you to get something done. That right there was maybe the window that Jerry and Steven are hoping for, that Micah gives in to the 40 and a half. I haven't not played football this long since I was in seventh grade, Micah said. And also, he never found out from Jerry or Steven that he was being traded. But Micah was starting to get a little antsy. And yeah, we had started hearing that from some behind the scenes. Micah is starting to get a little paranoid here and may want to go ahead and lock it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they absolutely were banking on that specifically with him, that he would give in. That's why when he was in the OTAs and he just goes, give me a helmet. Give me a helmet. Let me get out there. Like he does love it. He loves being out there. I think that's the thing. And I don't know. We'll see what the Van Natta piece says as we go through that. And we've got the Breer thing. I don't think anybody can question, does he love, like, does he have that competitive fire? Does he love winning? Does he love performing? I think he does love all those things to an extent that it probably can make him short-sighted at times. I will always go back to the Leighton Vander Esch clip on Hard Knocks when he was a rookie, when he's talking about, I just want to make every play during that first preseason game. And Leighton tells him, you got to know which is your play to make. And that's the thing, is that Micah, I think, just was so wanted to get there and make the play and do those things. At times it would lead to, yeah, some reckless stuff or, you know, a little bit of hero ball where he says, I got it. I can make this play. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do my assignment. I can get there.
Gap
and
integrity.
Then, and then it leaves you vulnerable. So then when the play's not made, there's a bust. And so, but I think if you want to talk about reasons for making it or for blowing off an assignment or whatever else, I do think a lot of where Micah's comes from is from a place of good intention of just, I want to make the play.
Well, this is the next part. Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated. Previous defensive staffs had trouble with Micah at times because he would play out of structure in an effort to make big plays, which led to the run defense issues Jerry and Steven kept referencing at their press conference.
I think that specifically is talking about Dan Quinn's staff being frustrated by that.
That does happen with great pass rushers. It was just too common, Breer writes, with Parsons. And again, he was too smart a football player for these to be a string of honest mistakes. The Cowboy offer made by Jones to Micah himself in April, as the owner detailed, topped $40 million per year, but ended up being too long for the Parsons camp's liking. That's something Clarence Hill tweeted out. Everyone's getting four-year deals, including Deron Bland now. Why are you holding me to five? What's the answer to that? Because I would look at that if I was Micah and Mulugeta and be pretty furious. Why does everyone else get to get back to the market and I have to go the extra year?
Yeah, I think for them, they would say, I think for them, they would say that this is just one of their hard lines that they're taking. They're also talking about paying him an exorbitant amount where they would probably need him. This is the thing they used to argue about with Ezekiel Elliott. They tried to tell Ezekiel Elliott, we have to make it a longer-term deal to make the finances work on our cap.
Yeah, but you just gave Dak 60.
No, I know, 100%. I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying this is where they would probably cut at it. Now, that may be a negotiating tactic or maybe like genuinely their belief on it. They've always caved. They've always wanted five for CeeDee. Yeah, they've wanted five for Dak.
Then why are you holding me? I'm the best player on the team. Why are you holding me to a different standard? You're supposed to be cutting me more breaks. During camp in California, Parsons was very attentive with and receptive to his new defensive coaches. Good in walkthroughs, good in the meeting room, and stayed up on his workout regimen. There was then a marked difference in how he carried himself at practice, what we saw in Oxnard, when cameras were on and when ownership was around, which gave everyone the feeling that he was very much trying to send a message to the bosses. Only Micah knows his intent. However, it seemed clear to others he was trying to irk management in a way they could not quite point the finger at him. But one thing that was brought up over the past few days, Jerry needs to trust a player to pay him like that. And somewhere along the line, Parsons lost Jones's trust. The Packers are one of six teams. We haven't gotten another team reported. The Packers are one of six teams that had their hats in the ring. The other was a leadership component Dallas was looking for as part of that larger reimagination of the team under Schottenheimer. Kenny Clark has very much always been the adult in the room. All right.
That's good.
Dan Quinn, to a degree, limited the freelancing Micah could do by playing him at linebacker early on and giving him more responsibility. Parsons started to drift more in that regard when he became more exclusively a pass rusher. The Packers, for their part, have a good group of people on that side of the ball that play disciplined and within the framework of the scheme, and they believe those guys will bring Micah along, now financially secure, with them. There were some questions the Cowboys folks who've been around him about how much he truly loved football versus what football had done for him off the field. So, you know you're going to get the smear campaign stuff from some of the Micah lovers. Of course, the Cowboys are going to go ahead and throw dirt on his name, although Albert Breer with some very, very interesting details.
Yeah, and we get that a lot. This is the tough thing about trying to...
Both sides are going to do it, of course.
Yeah,
they should. They got to win the PR battle.
They didn't do it publicly. I mean, at least to their credit. Both of them kept it fairly clean in the press conferences. But this is what you get whenever there's a breakup that happens. We went through this with McCarthy. It's happened when there was a split from Amari Cooper, different things like that. Of when you then try to just explain, not excuse or endorse it. When you just say, all right, here were their concerns. You'll get a lot of people who will then say, up, here's the smear campaign. You're the Jones boys. Did they catch your check? Are you dropping this for them now? And if you don't say anything, then they say, well, see, there was no reason for it. It's like, all right, well, then I'll just tell you, this is their thought. I'm not saying it's right or anything else, just telling you this was their thought, this was their concern. I'm sure Micah had his own issues and concerns, and David Mulugeta had his own issues and concerns with the Cowboys. There's always going to be, when things end, it's a lot easier to look back and say, yeah, okay, this is how we got to a divorce. This is we're just sorting through the rubble and saying, all right, this is what happened, this is how it got here. And the thing that I guess we'll need to find out, because Jerry publicly is saying, been considering this all the way back in January. I want to know if it...
January or the spring?
He said since we hired Brian.
Yeah, because that's even less of an excuse to have dealt him before the draft. The timing of this is my biggest problem with everything. And look, I get it if you're trying to say, well, look, in April or March, we thought we were working on the extension. We weren't having trade talks with teams. We thought we were on the doorstep. We thought we had something worked out. Mm-hmm. That was Steven justifying it the other night at the presser when Mike Florio and everyone else was going after them for, why didn't you do this before the draft? Todd Archer asking Jerry four times, why didn't you do this before the draft? And they're like, why are we talking about divorce when we're talking about renewing our vows? That's their position.
I think Micah brought it up to him. Like all the way back in the spring. I think Micah brought up the idea of like, hey, if this isn't going to go the way y'all want, trade me. Like, I don't think it was a firm request or anything like that. I'm guessing the final nail in the coffin probably was the request. When he made the request at the beginning of August, when we were standing at the airport in LAX, like that was when it shifted, I would guess. But I mean, this is something that where I don't know if it was the spring was just the initial crack in the foundation, mm-hmm. and the request is what destroyed it. But that's a long play. If their trust was broken in March, that is a long time to drag this out and try to get this done.
Brian Schottenheimer on why this was the right move.
Well, I think, you know, we just went through the whole process, and at the end of the day, it was unanimous. This is not something we came about. It wasn't something where it was like an overnight thing. We had talked about it. And at the end of the day, I think when you look at a football team, when you can potentially add up to four or five players and things like that, it gives you the ability to do some things. We were certainly excited about the addition of Kenny Clark. I've played against Kenny. He's very, very disruptive inside. And again, when we looked at it, it was, you know, something that at the end of the day, when you get a chance to get things back in return that you're excited about, then, you know, you make the move. And so, obviously, at the end of the day, we got to maximize the picks that we have. And that'll obviously be the plan.
You know how, like, when we talk about trades, it's like, you know, I don't worry about what happens with these picks. I mean, if they pick two Taco Charltons or they pick two Aaron Donalds, it to me, that doesn't change the evaluation of the trade, because the evaluation of the trade has to be made at the moment of the trade.
Okay.
Right? Sure. So, like, you know what I mean? So, like, who you get, it's the whole thing. If I buy a house, the house gets struck by lightning the next day.
Yeah, but part
still
of,
a good deal.
But part of my evaluation in that is how far back in the round the picks are supposed
to
be.
Right, and we don't know.
But
there's
we think we know.
I think we know around 20.
That's the highest.
Probably.
I haven't heard anyone think it's going to be higher than 20.
No, because that's where the Packers have been the last couple of years, right? They've been
And I mean, like,
wild card team.
This is the NFL. Jordan Love, and this is not a wish, nobody go clipping this or anything else. Jordan Love can tear his ACL in week one, mm-hmm. and then the Packers, all of a sudden, their fortunes change.
But I'm not giving the Cowboys credit for that.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
But what you do get is you are adding two extra players, in theory.
You're that adding 10 free years.
That are 5 years of control.
The first round pick
wanted two players at 15 with 5 years of control. They should have gotten a little bit more.
That'd be nice.
I'm not thrilled with the return.
I'm not thrilled with the return either. I would have gotten...
In order to make this type of move, you gotta wow me. You gotta blow me away.
I agree. I totally agree. I thought the return was a little bit low. But Bobby's right. Like the value of 10 years of team control of players is there's a lot of value in that.
Sure.
This will eventually probably shake out to when we really look at what the return was. The return will be, obviously, it's two and Kenny Clark. And this still may not be good enough to some people, but I'm just saying, this is what you got to factor into it too. It's two first round picks. It's $47 million that you're not spending on Micah. It's Kenny Clark. It's keeping Deron Bland. Bland was probably the odd man out. Tyler Smith was probably always going to be here, but Bland is probably the odd one out. It's not having to flip a switch on Dak's contract and keep his contract around here longer into the future if things go south. So, like, it opens up. It basically has tentacles that reach into a number of different roster decisions that you're now not pressed into.
Yep. And look, I mean, and then you can hindsight it. And if they do and they go and they get Taco and Mozzie, it's going to look terrible. But if they parlay that, and you get a quarterback of the future,
I think it's very hard.
In 2 years, then it's good.
Any non-quarterback, I think it's very hard to argue that they are worth more than two first-round picks, a contributor to a weakness, and $40 million in space. I just think it's anybody, even no matter how much I like him. If Jamar Chase got offered, it's really hard to justify that Chase is better than getting that flexibility if you're in a certain position. So it's not even an indictment on Micah to me. It's just this is a team-building aspect that can help them accelerate whatever rebuild or renovation they have.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. Trayvon Diggs, Micah's bestie, by the way, with some news of his own. He says, kind of back and forth here, 75-80% chance of him playing Thursday night. And then he goes, yeah, you know, I'm unsure about the opener, but no later than week four. So here I am last week thinking, worst case is week two. And then he goes, no later than week four, but 75-80%. So it's positive either way, I think, on Diggs, if you thought he was coming back half end or even missing the season, as Shereen Williams had kept saying. And then Diggs went over to Micah's house after the deal. I thought Trayvon handled himself very well with the media. It could have gotten uglier. He could have gone ahead and thrown his shots. But basically, he was saying, yeah, the problems that people had with Micah, those people are now gone. And I think this is directing right at Seattle and Tank Lawrence. Trayvon, I think everyone liked him. I feel like there were some former players who are not here anymore. There was a lot of, I would say, hate, jealousy, envy towards him because of who he is and the production he has on the field. Imagine if you come in here, you're taking somebody's shine or taking somebody's spot. You're not going to like that. They're going to feel a type of way, especially if you're that type of person. Me personally, I never got no bad anything from him, like ever since he stepped foot on the team.
Woo. Shots fired at DeMarcus Lawrence is what that is.
Yep.
Goodness.
And then CD, I hope he has the best season ever. He's Micah. He's unblockable. He's unstoppable. What's going to be like when he comes to town week four? The worst. It's going to be weird. It's going to be conflicting. I hope he's not in the backfield in 2 seconds. And remember, Lamb, when this all happened in Oxnard, did a SMH, just pay the man and let's stop going through this crap over and over again. Let's ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys, fan text 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053.
Brian Broadus just texted, last 10 years, Green Bay picked 23. So
on average?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tyler Smith and Dez Bryant were the 24th pick overall in their draft, so we're right in position to get, I think we'll get them with all four picks probably is what we're looking at. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. You can weigh in on the fan cam over at Twitch or on the YouTube. You can also text in as we kick around some of the most viral questions being asked over on Ask Reddit this week, and we will start with RJ Choppy, because I feel like you'll have several answers for this.
He loves prepping for this segment.
What's the most irrational thing you believe you could do without any experience? And this is in line in the same vein as the percentage of men who believe they could land an airplane.
That's my answer is land an airplane. I've done it.
In a simulator?
Yeah. Remember old Roy? Roy's dad was a pilot. And he took me into the Southwest Airlines simulator. This is what they train on. There's zero difference between the sim and an airplane, right? 737, which they don't land. We know that. They don't land very often.
Mm-mm. That's kudos to you.
The plane basically lands on its own. Hopefully it's in an airport. But I took off and landed without problem, without fail, passed the test several times. I even took off out of San Francisco, SFO they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I made a left turn, and I flew under the Golden Gate Bridge first time.
Wow.
The guy was like, the instructor was like, there's no way you're going to do this. I was like, bro, I'm going to do this. Like,
the instructor was Roy's dad, wasn't it?
Well, they had the instructor behind.
Oh.
So Roy's dad was, he was sitting in the co-pilot chair. I was the pilot. I'm doing the righty, lefty, righty, left, just moving around. Dude, it's absolutely.
Okay.
If you guys are on a plane with me and the pilots get sick, we're safe. We're good.
Do you think they just threw a video up on the screen for him? Like, just like, make him think you went under the Golden Gate Bridge.
I put the hood down. I was able to use the dot.
Repeat the question.
What's the most irrational thing you believe you could do without any experience?
I've always believed I could write country music. Now with AI, I know I could. Uh-huh. But I think if you gave me 6 or 7 months just to solely prepare for it, I could come up with the material for stand-up comedy. I think I could come up with 10 minutes worth of, only 10, of like really funny stuff. Because sometimes I'll think of something and I'm like, that should be a stand-up joke. And if I had a notepad and I'm working on my material solely, just concentrating on stand-up for like 7 months, even though I was voted least funny on the show, I think I could go up there and deliver it, although I'd be absolutely terrified.
The you could absolutely come up with the topics. Then you got to write it out. I assume that's more difficult. There are comics that they just carry a little notebook around with them, like a little tiny little pad they just constantly are writing.
We're getting a lot of be an owner and GM of an NFL team or be the GM of the Mavericks. Huh. You don't got to trade Luka. We're getting a lot of that right
Yours
here.
Yours is golf, Bobby.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't, it's at irrational. So, like, I know I could shoot under 80. That's not going to be a problem at all. Boy, that was at your pool party, Jacob Ray wanted to just corner Choppy about all his golf experience and just like,
really?
Yeah, it was like, oh my gosh, you were Tennessee? Where do you play? You remember anywhere? He was hitting him with everything. Peyton, what is your irrational thing you believe you could do without any experience?
Without any experience, I'm fully confident I could become a Secret Service agent. It's simple. Oh my gosh. Just protect the president. That's all you got to do. Now, I know it's like.
Where's the president right now?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Whoa. No one does.
Every day it's trending.
Yeah. So, but without any experience, I feel like if they just gave me that job, it's like, okay, you know, you get the fear of death, obviously, if something were to happen. But, like, you know, it's simple. Just follow his lead, protect him.
I got a buddy who's a Secret Service agent. I'll hook you up with him.
Oh, that's perfect.
Tolo Chris with the worst response. He usually texts intelligent things. This is the dumbest thing he's ever written. Get a hit off a major leaguer. Zero chance, Chris.
Oh,
zero.
Buck 30 on the Twitch, ride a bull. I kind of think I could too. I don't know why.
You?
I don't know why.
With your back?
You just got to hold on for 8 seconds. It's 8 seconds, guys. How difficult seconds. Is that?
Is that a long time?
That seems like a lot of time. Like people.
All right, next time we're going to a bar and there's got that little
mechanical bull.
The mechanical bull. We'll see. I guarantee you don't win longer.
Billy Bob's here I come. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Peyton Russell, what type of car causes you to instantly stereotype the driver?
I think mine's the obvious answer, but any extremely lifted truck.
Oh.
If your truck is super lifted, I'm not talking about just buying, you know, the already F-350, 450s, whatever, but I mean, you lift that sucker way up, you know, you got a small package. That's my
story. Whoa!
Wow!
Yeah, you might as well go to Choppy next.
Choppy. The problem for you is you drive what people usually stereotype.
What, a truck?
The Altima.
I don't drive an Altima.
Or the which Maxima. One is it? The Maxima. Yeah, it's the Maxima.
What's the Maxima stereotype?
The Maxima and the Altima both get hit all the time as just being like douchey people.
Bad drivers.
Really?
Like, yeah, well, bad drive, bad aggressive drivers. Who
we are bad aggressive drivers.
That whole thing. Which you aren't. I found a video.
Sure, I'll say that one. I'll go PG.
Oh, that's your PG.
He wants to say Tesla.
No. I mean, like, look, there's Prius.
Oh.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying. 903 Hellcat Altima. 915 says Prius. 972 says the Hummer. Mine is first if
the Hummer.
Yeah, says that they just think you're a douche if you're driving a Hummer. My answer is D&M leasing cars. If you're driving D&M leasing car, I stereotype you as smart is the biggest thing. But since we're going like more on the negative side, I guess it's not necessarily the car itself. It's what's on your car, and it's the truck nuts. Yeah, I know that was it. When you've got the truck nuts on there, I just instantly go, I would never not be friends nuts. With you.
Yeah, no.
Ever. I just wouldn't. Sean, you got a car, you go.
It's not really a car, but whenever a car that has no business having it, it has the super loud revved up engine that's added, and you're looking around to see what it is, and then you see what actually passes you. I don't know if there's a car that typically goes with, and you're like, what a douchebag.
My kids want, loser. My oldest one, he wants like, can I put a, I want to mod it out. He's getting my max, but I want to mod it out. Because when I go under a bridge, he wants to be able to rev the engine under a bridge and it echoes.
Hey, you see that? That's Maxima and Altima. That's what they're talking about. All right, ask her to hear on 105 Through the Fan. Sean Sharif.
I can do Mustang too, Peyton.
What? He's not Mustang. What's something you swore you'd never do when you got older, but now you do it all the time?
Maybe just like going out on the weekend the way I
you just never thought you'd retire from partying.
Well, not partying, but like I want to day drink.
Oh,
so they're still partying. I want to go out at 12 and be home at 6:30.
Yeah.
In bed 8:30. That's the dream. Absolute dream.
What you got, Chop?
Talk about the weather.
The weather.
That's an old man thing.
We needed this.
I thought I'd never would do that. Now it's like that's all I talk about. Talk about the weather.
Swaggy Booties on the Twitch says pay taxes. I never thought they were going to do that. Mr. Kane with the first name Coke on the YouTube says drink and smoke is his answer. That's my answer. I honestly never thought I was going to drink alcohol ever. And then I drank a lot of it for a long time. Peyton, what did you say you were never going to do that then you ended up doing all the time?
Keeping up with the stock market, stuff like that. You know, when I was young, I was like so anti-investment. I was like, you know, why am I going to throw my money here when obviously it can go, you know, either way, up and down. Stocks obviously don't always go up, even though they tell you that, I think, as a young kid. But, you know, it's weird because I gamble, obviously. But, you know, keep up with the stock market. I feel like I never would have done that as a kid. But now I look at it every day.
Dude, there are so many good answers on the fan text right now. 877-881-1053. 214, act like my father as a father.
Yep.
817, avoid crowds and bitch about body pains. That's another. I didn't think I would ever be the avoid crowd people, but I've gotten that one. 254, getting mad at people driving fast on my street. That's another one that people never think they did. And then go to bed at 9:30, says the 903. All right, Ask Reddit here on 105 through the Fan. Got time for probably one more here. RJ Choppy, what screams I'm a bad parent?
Well, it's a tough one. We're all just trying to get through this thing. We don't really know what the hell we're doing. So maybe there are no actual bad parents. They're just parents who don't know what they're doing yet. But I'll tell you this one. My son showed me a video of a kid in his school who's just got a car, right? Just turned 16. They bought him like $120,000 like M5 BMW.
Okay.
That's a bad parent. You've shown that kid absolutely nothing in terms of valuing a dollar.
I got news.
Nothing.
I got news for you.
Absolutely
nothing. Chop a crit. If you had $20 million, the way you can't say no to your kids, they'd have a sick ass expensive car.
And guess
too.
What?
Right out the gate.
They would. And they'd be a spoiled little brat.
Okay.
To me, the answer on what screams of a bad parent, it's the person who's like just timidly trying to like calm down, like a kid who's out of control, like and isn't just willing to like say like knock it off and
yeah.
Cut
but
that
a lot
out.
Of times that doesn't help either, as I've found out.
No, it doesn't. But like it's like a wild horse. You're breaking the thing. You can't just get there by being gentle.
I used to say it was the leashes, but I've taken that back.
Oh, yeah. You're pro leash.
I'm pro leash.
What's something you swore you'd never do? You'd be in favor of leashes on children.
Yeah, I don't think I'd break them out, but if I had three in an airport or going to the fair, absolutely. What's yours that you see, Peyton?
Mine's leaving your kid in the car, you know, alone. Don't you got to run the store?
Did you see that Rockwall story?
Yes.
What happened with that?
It wasn't even the parent. It was some person watching, like a babysitter was watching the kid, left the kid inside, and the kid was dead.
Thanks for softening it.
Wow.
Yeah. Ask Reddit every single day. Thanks, at Peyton. This time. Oh, sorry, every Tuesday at this time. Get my days confused with Labor Day off. Hopefully you enjoy the extended weekend. We're going to try to get you to Thursday night and your weekend as quickly as possible. And we're doing it with a baseball team that's still alive and thriving. RJ Choppy with a brand new exciting edition of Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers next.